We present Kenneth Williams, Peter Jones, Clement Fried and Derek Nimmo in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much. Hello and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, we have our four regulars playing the game tonight, so anything can happen and everything usually does. And they're going to try and speak as usual, if they can, for just a minute on the subject that I will give them without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject on the card. Clement Fried, will you begin the show this week? And the subject is looking ahead. Will you talk on that for 60 seconds, starting now?
Looking ahead is about optimism. And looking around this studio, young Kenneth Williams, sprightly Derek Nimmo, mature Peter Jones, there is a great deal of hope and enthusiasm.
Derek Nimmo has challenged.
Has Dej.
I would agree, Derek, so you have a point for a correct challenge and you take over the subject, which is looking ahead, and there are 44 seconds left, starting now.
As Clement Fried says, looking ahead is very often to do with optimism. I am the sort of optimistic person that would even write to Peter Bessel for a character reference. And I do think that one should try always to look ahead in life, or even to ask Mary Whitehouse to a wife-swapping party. Some of these things, I feel, enrich the life that we try to lead.
And Clement Fried has challenged.
Repetition of life.
Yes, I'm afraid you said it before, so Clement has a correct challenge, and there are 17 seconds left for looking ahead with you, Clement, starting now.
And yet, looking at Nicholas Parsons, what hope, I ask you. A man who, in 45 years' time, will still be the chairman of Salem Century, will continue to lose control of...
Derek Nimmo has challenged.
No, actually, I'm so sorry. Deviation, because it's already been established by Mr. Fried that looking ahead means optimism. I can see it's a very pessimistic thought to think that Nicholas Parsons will still be here in 45 years.
I said it was usually about optimism. In the case of Nicholas Parsons, I was prepared to make an exception.
Oh, they're being very clever and very subtle. Derek, let me be very generous and give you a point for a very good challenge, but you don't get the subject. Clement Fried keeps it with 3 seconds to go, starting now.
Hello.
And Derek, then we'll challenge you.
Hesitation.
I'll be even more generous and say it was hesitation, because it was 2 seconds there. And looking ahead, 1 second, Derek, starting now.
One ought to look ahead for at least 2 seconds.
Ian Messiter, the originator and creator of this impossible game, blows his whistle after 60 seconds and tells us that the time is up and whoever is speaking at that moment gets the extra point. It was Derek Nimmo who gained most points in that round and has the lead. And Derek, will you begin the next round? The subject, what the perfect hotel should provide. Ooh, I can think of some things. And Derek, will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
One of the things the perfect hotel should provide is transportation to pick one up from the airport. If you stay at the Peninsula Hotel in Hong Kong, they have a fleet of 10 Rolls Royces painted in identical livery that attend you at the terminal and transport you back to the aforementioned hotel. I think also it's very nice to have writing paper with your name on it and perhaps personalised matches, those little touches that make one feel so extremely welcome. There's a hotel called Lanzarac at Stellenbosch in the Cape Province where they have rooms that actually have 2 bathrooms for each person that stays there and a sauna bath and your own private
swimming pool. And Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, this doesn't seem to be the perfect hotel. He's talking about hotels that exist and obviously no hotel is perfect. So he can't be talking about a perfect hotel when he mentions these that he's been to.
That's about the most involved challenge I've ever heard in my life.
Well, I thought I'd better say something. People would think I wasn't in it at all.
Well, Peter, I think you're well and truly in it, but it was a very ingenious challenge, but I'm afraid I wasn't deviating from the subject of the perfect hotel, what it should provide. So he keeps going with 21 seconds left, starting now.
A perfect hotel should provide highly skilled masseurs to attend to one's every need, so that when one arrives tired...
Kenneth Williams.
2-1.
That's right, yes, when one arrives and one for the masseurs. Kenneth, you have 13 seconds now. Talk on the subject of what the perfect hotel should provide, starting now.
I read a fascinating article by a lady who investigated this perfect hotel lock and asked for pure orange juice, a nightdress, a typewriter, a toothbrush, all kinds of things which she said to me.
So, Kenneth Williams was speaking then, as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. He's now in second place at the end of the round behind Derek Nimmo, and Peter Jones begins the next round. Some people say the perfect hotel should have hot and cold women running in every room.
Chambermaids, surely. Hot and cold chambermaids.
No, it
doesn't.
That's
the joke.
I notice it got a much better laugh when you said that is the joke than you actually told the joke. So, Peter, what about beginning?
Naturally, they hardly recognised it as a joke in the first place. Anyway, I've got the subject. What is it? Hot and cold chambermaids?
It'd be a very good subject, but actually Ian Mester suggested that you should talk on punctuality.
Ah.
And you have just a minute in which to do it, starting now.
Punctuality is the thief of time, because with the traffic in the appalling state it is, with public transport so slow and uncomfortable, one has to start any journey in the metropolitan area so far in advance of the time that one is expected to arrive.
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Repetition of time.
Yes, that is right. Derek, you have the subject. Another point, of course. 41 seconds on punctuality starting now.
Gosh, it is desperately difficult to be punctual today, is it not? And that is what Peter Jones was saying. And I quite agree with him, because as I get onto my little bicycle and I try to cycle down to Trafalgar Square on a Tuesday morning, I find myself continually distracted and interrupted and indeed barred from going further by masses of traffic all over the road. And sometimes when you see little tiny birds floating...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of little.
Yes, and tiny. So, Clement, you have the subject, and 22 seconds on punctuality, starting now.
Punctuality is about arriving on time, also getting to a place at the appointed hour, and generally not letting down people who would expect you to appear when their watches have them persuade them that it is meet for you so to do. I'm an exceedingly punctual person myself. I have been known to leave my car in the middle of Piccadilly Circus.
So, Clement Freud was then speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point. He's still in third place. Kenneth's in second, Derek's in the lead, Peter's in fourth place, and Kenneth begins the next round. Kenneth, the subject is, very apt for you, getting in a frenzy. Something that I'm sure you don't normally do, but will you talk on the subject in just a minute, starting now?
This is the sort of thing that occurs when passions are high, sometimes in life itself, sometimes in manufactured situations. And one thinks immediately of Beatrice in the trenchy, crying out, "Speak not to
Peter
me
Jones.
Of hope. It is the only evil that can find a place for the dark and the hour."
Kenneth! Peter Jones challenged you.
What's he on about?
Well, there were whole bits of that I couldn't understand at all. It sounded like verbal anorexia to me. deviation is the challenge.
Deviation is the challenge, because I didn't hear it very well either. I can't actually judge. No, he did keep going on the subject. In fact, he was demonstrating a frenzy to us very accurately. So, Kenneth, you keep the subject. You have 47 seconds left. Getting in a frenzy, starting
the
now.
The most frenzied person I ever knew told me about Indian roulette, where you're surrounded by six cobras. We're all given a snake charmer's flu, but one of the cobras is deaf. And...
Clement Freud challenged.
Cobra.
Cobra. All those cobras.
Load of cobras there.
And one of them was deaf. Clement, there are 38 seconds for you to talk on getting in a frenzy, starting now.
Getting in a frenzy is something the late and much beloved Duke of Gloucester never did. He was...
Kenneth Williams' challenge.
Well, I mean, since such as getting into a frenzy, and he says somebody ever did, it's a deviation. We're talking about getting into a frenzy, not about people who never did get into a frenzy.
Seconds, getting in a frenzy, starting
now. I find this timekeeping questionable, because it seems to me that the subject's been discussed for far longer than 28 seconds, but I'll take your word for it.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Deviation, it was nothing to do with getting in a frenzy.
It certainly did seem longer than 28 seconds, but
yes,
that's because it was
did, didn't
terribly
it?
Boring.
Well, there were 32 seconds. I believe you were in a frenzy, and you now have 27 seconds to talk on getting in a frenzy, starting now.
To tear a passion to tatters, a termagant to out Herod, Herodias would be the sort of thing that frenzies lead us into. And frenzied enthusiasm is something we should all bring to bear on all those subjects and things in life which need that sort of inner effulgence and rhythm and bring to almost a boiling.
So Kenneth Williams was speaking as a whistlewind, got the point. He not only spoke on the subject of getting in a frenzy, but actually illustrated it for the audience in the studio at the same time. And he's gained so many points in that round, he now has the lead ahead of Derek Nimmo. Clement Freud, it's your turn to begin. The subject is gooey buns. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Gooey, of course, is not an absolute term. And you must therefore get a bun and test it for normality, which would depend on the dryness inherent therein, the amount of sticky covering upon it, the glaze, the filling, and perhaps the temperature of the confection, which is exceedingly important if you are going to go for gooey buns. The most gooey bun I ever had was in Tunbridge Wells in a cafeteria which used to be run by a lady who previously worked in a cathedral city. But she threw up her establishment and came to that part of Kent, which I have just mentioned, adjacent to a public school at which they wear bowler hats. Gooey buns, 4p, was the modest price described on the menu outside, visible to all who passed the high street, and many went in.
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Revolution of High Street.
He said high school and high street. So he repeated the word high. Derek, you have 6 seconds on the subject of gooey buns, starting now.
I absolutely adore gooey buns, and I'd like to buy them, if possible, just round about. So
Derek Nimmo got in just before the whistle, got an extra point, and he's now gone back in the lead just ahead of Kenneth Williams. Derek, your turn to begin the subject, acupuncture. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Acupuncture has been...
Kenneth Williams...
Meditation.
No.
Rarely, Kenneth.
And he does it for a laugh. Derek gets a point for an incorrect challenge again, and acupuncture still with him in 59 seconds, starting now.
Acupuncture is a very ancient form of Chinese medicine, and is what actually happens is you stick needles into a particular part of your body which affects a corresponding area within the brain. Tay Boon Seng was one of the principal exponents in the last century of acupuncture and brought the art to Bendigo, a city in Australia, where he arrived with these sharp instruments that I mentioned before and stuck them into an unsuspecting Lascar sailor who happened to be passing. Then he called for Sung Mai, his faithful chum, to extract these thine...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed, because he couldn't think of another word to replace the word needle. And there are 22 seconds on acupuncture with you, Peter, starting now.
Acupuncture was invented inadvertently by a Chinese schoolboy who left a drawing pin on the seat of his English master. And the English master reacted...
Clement Freud challenge.
Two English masters.
Yes, there were. Clement, you have 9.5 seconds to talk about acupuncture, starting now.
I once went to somebody who practiced acupuncture and told him that I had headaches, and he said, it is quite simple. Simply bare your arm, and we will stick 11...
So Clement Freud, speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point, but he's still in third place behind Kenneth Williams. Derek Nimmo's the lead, and Peter Jones is going to begin the next round. And the subject is After the Deluge. Will you tell us something on that subject, Peter, in just a minute, starting now?
Après nous le déluge. I think it was Madame Pompadour who made this remark, and it was, of course, looking ahead to the time when the...
Clement Freud challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, you couldn't imagine what I was looking ahead to. 47 seconds are left for After the Deluge, Clement, starting now.
The one absolutely certain fact after a deluge is that you get wet. I'm not really at this moment prepared to say very much more, other than...
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Well, then shut up if he's not playing second. Let somebody else have a go.
I said very much more. I had in mind about 44 seconds.
I don't think he was actually deviating from the subject. At least you haven't given him a chance to prove he was, so it isn't a correct challenge, Kenneth. And Clement continues with 37 seconds left, starting now.
The term is also used in its non-rain capacity when deluge is taken to express some sort of disaster, like a setback in war, a battle which has gone the wrong way, or even adversity on the stock market. After the deluge, they say, all will be better. Or to put it another way, BP shares will go up 10p, and you'll be able to sell at some small profit, which is unlikely these days because life is disastrous and sad, miserable, wretched, horrible, awful, and there could easily be another election when all of us might do...
I must point out to our listeners that they were clapping Clement Freud for speaking as the whistle went and not for what he said. Because if we all believe that, I don't think we'd bother to continue with just a minute. So Clement, in spite of his lugubrious and miserable outpourings, did gain some points and he's gone into second place. And Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin. The subject, Arthur Eric Roughton Gill. Would you tell us something about him in this game, starting now?
A wonderful inheritance we have gained from this remarkable and singular artist. Began as an architect interested in building and then turned his skills to carving in stone. Most beautiful things, some which can still be seen to this day outside Broadcasting House. But probably the most famous contribution of Gill's was the sans serif type, which is so distinguished and fine. The clean line, the asymmetrical nature of that work is in effect a testament to his searching, in the metaphysical sense, for the truth and goodness element which he claimed was essential to life itself. And for this reason, he became a member of that Fabian group, and it didn't satisfy.
So Kenneth took the subject, which was obviously close to his heart, kept going magnificently for 60 seconds, without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating, and without being challenged, gets a point for speaking as the whistle went, and a bonus for all the other attributes that he displayed during that round. Kenneth, you're back in the lead alongside Derek Nimmo and Clement Freud. Your turn to begin. The subject, machines replacing people. Will you tell us something about that? Just a minute, starting now.
One does tend to hear quite a bit about machines replacing people. And looking around the panelists of this game, one wonders what sort of machine might replace Peter Jones. Possibly a steam engine or an electric typewriter. And for Derek Nimmo, what machine would replace...
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Repetition of what? What machine, what machine?
Oh, yes.
Somewhat... You'd be on two ones just before, didn't you?
Yeah, but that was petty, towards the end. It's a petty challenge,
oh,
but
right. It's a petty challenge. I don't mind.
But it happens to be a correct one. So sticking to the rules of the game, and you would soon criticise me if I didn't do that. I say, Derek, you have the correct challenge, and therefore you must have the subject and the point. And 40 seconds on machines replacing people, starting now.
Motor car firms in Italy are already advertising the fact that the cars are untouched by human hand. And it's frightening to think the machines have proceeded to this extent. With the development of the silicon...
Clement Freud.
Hesitate.
Yes, I agree, Clement. There are 28 seconds on machines replacing people with you, starting now.
I recently came across a sausage roll machine which promised that no ingredient had ever been near a human being. And perhaps that is what machines replacing human beings actually means. The machine...
Kevin was judged.
I thought he was coming to a halt, didn't
he? He was. And I know why he was coming to a halt.
What was that?
And the audience knows why as well. But the listeners don't, and I will say that Kenneth was doing what we call nobbling the man who was sitting next to him, which was Clement Troy.
No, he likes the propinquity.
And for those who don't understand Greek, I will explain that he was getting so close to Clement, it was almost an affair. But Clement kept going magnificently, but he did dry up, and Kenneth has got the subject illicitly, but nonetheless, he has won it, and there are 12 seconds on machines replacing men with you, Kenneth, starting now.
Such a thing can never happen, since the very nature of individuality is something would never produce in...
Clement Freud's challenge.
Repetition of never.
Yes, that's right. Never happen, never. But don't let's have too many of these small words for future. We've had what and never.
Quite right, never. Very good, Chairman. Quite right.
Very good. But that was a
it's
correct
all right when people do it to me. No. It's not really as satisfactory when I do it to
don't
someone else.
Don't niggle, Clement. Accept defeat. Accept it. Can't you be humble like me? I'm just a part of the team. I don't try to show off or anything like that. I fit in and help the others. That's all I care about. I don't even mind about not scoring anything. I just don't care. I come all the way from Great Portland Street just to sacrifice myself.
Well, I hope you won't care when I say, because that was the correct challenge. Clement Freud now has the subject.
Right.
And there are 5 seconds on machines replacing men... machines replacing people starting now.
I don't believe that Concorde will ever be replaced by people because it travels so quickly.
Which, of course, was quite the reverse of the subject on the card. He could have been had for deviation. That would have been people replacing machines. But, Clement, you have another point for speaking as the whistle went, and you now have the lead at the end of that round. And Derek Nimmer, will you begin the next round? Building a brick wall. Will you talk at some that subject now in just
Here
a minute? Starting now.
Building a brick wall. Well, the first thing you need probably are bricks. And I would suggest either London Stock or Rouen Red. Perhaps you could intermingle the two of them together and get a very nice patchwork effect. When I first started building brick walls, which was some 25 years ago, I had the feeling that I was a reincarnated bricklayer because I knew exactly what I had to do. And I used to dip them in water and put on a kind of cement or mortar, which I used to make out of a little paper bag. And then gradually, like Winston Churchill...
Peter Jones has challenged.
You can't make mortar out of a paper bag.
You certainly can't. So that was a deviation from accuracy and truth and reality. And there are 32 seconds for you, Peter, on building a brick wall starting now.
Well, you put one brick on the ground and then you put mortar on top of that and the brick...
deviation. Hesitation.
Yes, it wasn't deviation.
No, hesitation.
I'm glad that you haven't tried to build a brick wall, Peter, because
yes.
Having got one brick on the ground, you forget what to do next. Wouldn't get very far. There are 25 seconds on building a brick wall with you, Clement, starting now.
An interesting aspect of building brick walls is you need a lot of string before you even start, so that you can rope off the terrain and make sure that the wall which you are about to build is straight, that is, if you want it to be in a line, or circular, curved, rectangular, or whatever. Bricks are, of course, essential, and ordinaries tend to be the kind of bricks which are most in demand for...
So Clement Freud kept going till the whistle, an extra point, and has increased his lead at the end of the round. Peter Jones, your turn to begin. The subject is Florida. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, Florida, like California, as Fred Allen said, is fine if you're an orange. But I wouldn't really want to live there, although the prevalence of this citrus fruit would make for good health, probably, and the climate, I believe, is very pleasant. The beaches, the sea, and the millions of tourists who come from all over the United States.
Derek Nimmer, challenge.
Hesitation.
No, I didn't hear him hesitate. Sounded just like Florida to me.
Oh, right.
36 seconds, Peter, for you to keep going on Florida, starting now.
I'm amazed at my good fortune.
Derek Nimmer.
Hesitation.
It didn't last very long, did it? Derek, you have the subjects. You have 35 seconds on Florida, starting now.
Last time I went to Florida was to visit Disney World, and gosh, what an excitement to go on the Buccaneers ride, or the Haunted House, all those wonderful things that dear, extraordinary man has provided for our delectation and entertainment. The hotels built within this magnificent complex are worthy of international standards. You can go there on a monorail, and all the time you see Mickey Mouse, Pluto, Goofy, Donald Duck, all the chum that you've grown to love over the years. And isn't this a lovely excitement? Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Perhaps they might be economizing going down to six these days, but value is always to be found in Florida. The land of sunshine, blue seas.
Well, Derek Nimmo kept going magnificently till the whistle went, gained that extra point, and with that magnificent flourish of his, he's brought the contest to an end. And so I will now give you the final score. Peter Jones was in fourth place, contributed a lot as usual, but didn't gain many points in the process. Kenneth Williams contributed more than usual and gained a lot of points, but he didn't quite get up to Derek Nimmo's number, and he was behind our winner this week, who is Clement Freud. Again, the contest and the fun of Just a Minute comes to an end, but we hope that you'll tune again at the same time next week when once more we take to the air and we play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.